Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you guys. Amen. Awesome worship this morning. Amen. I think they kind of sung my message. So I just put words, some of my words, to the song, okay? Nah. But before I get started, Cassandra, where did you go to? She's going to do a song for us. Okay? Ready? Okay.
Jesus loves me, this I know. Full of Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so.
Now the question is, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Somebody said, I know it. Amen. How many know Jesus love you? And the thing about it is, there's nothing you can do so great to stop him that he wouldn't love you. Let's flip that coin on the other side. There's nothing so bad. How far down you can go that he will still love you. It won't change his mind about he love you. Amen? I mean, you know, it's been decreed in the heavens that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Amen? See, God is not about condemning us. He's about lifting us up. Amen? Now, I'm getting started in my message, but before I do that, I need to clear up something, okay? Say, can you give me about 5 seconds to clear up something? This is Mike and Kelly. I had a slip of tongue back there in the back. He said, it's Kelly, it ain't Connie. I said, straighten it out. Lisa. I said Lisa. Okay, but it's Kelly. Okay, this is Kelly and Mike. Okay, I apologize. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, is that 5 seconds yet? Okay, so we do mess up sometimes, don't we? But thank God he give us grace to what? Fix it. Amen? You said, aren't you embarrassed? No. Because I got a God that loved me, and he told me, when you mess up, John, fix it. Yeah. Right? It's called repent. Repentance. But just want to let you know, Pastor Terry was called to go do a funeral today with one of his co-workers. I think it was a supervisor that he used to work for, and they asked him to do the funeral today. And I think it's in Union, South Carolina, so he asked me to fill in for him, which I said yes, but just pray for your pastor. And while he's not here, I can let you in on a secret. Right? This month is what? So let your pastor know that you appreciate him, okay? I mean, Charlie and I, we know that you guys appreciate the whole staff, but how many know he's the senior pastor, and we want to let him know that we love him and we appreciate him. So do that sometime within this month. You got what? 3 more Sundays? I think it's 5 Sundays in this month. Okay. But anyway, that's all the advertisement for you this morning. Okay, the title of my message is, and as the worship team was singing and Cassandra came over and she said, "Pastor John, can I sing Jesus Love Us, Love Me?" And I said, "Lord, you got a way of fixing things. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. He got a way of putting things together that us human can't do on our own. That's why he's so awesome." Now, she didn't know my notes. The praise team didn't know what I was preaching about. But how many sense the encouragement of how God really loves us? Now, whether you realize it or not, sometimes people struggle with saying, "God can't love me. Look what I've done. Look where I've been. Look what I've done to other people." But do you not know that it was love that caused him to come to this earth just for that? Now, you have to put a name to that, but how many know that is not too bad that God is not aware of and that God is not willing to do something about to bring change? Now, the title of my message is this: A Delivering Love. A Delivering Love. And what I want you to do, if you would go to Luke chapter 10, and that was a question asked to Jesus. Chapter 10, and let's look at verse 25. And it reads, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher," now notice the word, what it says here, "tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Testing Jesus, what about that? "And he said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live." Watch this. "But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. By chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side." We see the priests. We see a Levite. Now, the priests, their office didn't allow them to deal with dead bodies. But this man wasn't dead. He was half dead. So the priests walking and seeing this man in his condition goes to the other side. The priest represents who? The law. The law is not going to get it for us. The Levite, being out of the tribe of this, knowing the laws, also came down and went to the other side. And sometimes we think, well, You know, those was biblical days, and you know, things like that don't happen now, but how many know they do? I wonder, have we ever seen somebody in need and we kindly ignored the situation? We kindly didn't go on the other side of the road, but we turned our head and looked the other way. But I thought you said this was delivering love. Watch what happens here. Verse 33 says, but a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him and what? Saw him and was on his journey, came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt what? Compassion. The Bible says Jesus was always being moved with what? Compassion. Now, let me tell you what this word compassion means. Because we see a good illustration here, and we see that this young, smart lawyer was asking Jesus a question, but he asked Jesus also, he said, who is my neighbor? And Jesus began to illustrate, and he showed a priest, he showed a Levite, he showed a Samaritan. But how many know that if you know anything about biblical studies of the Bible, Samaritans had no dealings with what? They were considered what? Nobodies. They was X'd out. But here's one Samaritan. People say, you know, when they teach and preach this, they say, oh, Jesus represented the good Samaritan. Could be. I don't know. He showed up as a garden one time. Could be. I don't know. But I do know that when we try to perform out of self, it's not true compassion. But the Bible says the Samaritan was moved with what? Compassion. Now, what does the word compassion mean? I'm glad you asked. I got it for you. In the Greek for the word compassion, it is a gut feeling. Where is the Spirit at? He said, out of your what? Your a gut feeling. Other words, he had a groaning on the inside. And that verse in 31 and 33, the Greek prefix of that verb in Luke is, it means to respond. It means to move away, or it means to move forward. Compassion moves us forward. Jesus, what it does is it enters into the situation of the individual that he has compassion for. Watch this. Because what it means is that I love you so much and I have so much compassion, I have a gut loving for you to where I'm willing to come. Not pass by on the other side, but come right alongside you and assist you.
Yes, sir.
What's the need? What can I do to help? It means to feel the other person's, whatever they are going through. You are what? Your compassion is compelling you to what? To go and sit in on what's going on. To be a part of the situation. But here we are in a situation that we could not help ourselves. You and I were. We were in a situation that we couldn't help ourselves. Well, if I be good this weekend, Lord, if I just give a little more money, Lord, but I mean, you know, our goodness wasn't enough to appease the wrath that God was about to pour out on us. But there was a man by the name of Jesus that came and said, Lord, I will go. Watch this. Because the Bible says that God so loved the world. Not just the cosmos, the arrangement, that what we see, but he's talking about humanity. The one that God created from the very beginning in his likeness. He said, look, if we don't go down and redeem my humanity, they will be lost for eternity. There's no way out of it. There's no goodness that we can do but delivering love will fit, will fill in the blank. Watch this. The Samaritans had compassion. And what it means, he had a gut feeling. He was willing to do what? Go into the man's situation. You know, it's good to say, you know, there's a need. There's a need here and there. But how many know the church is the one to have the answer, and we have to fill in the blanks because the world don't have the answer. Watch this. Love sees with compassion and enters the situation of the person in bondage. And you want to know why Jesus wants to set you free? So that you can free others. See, love will always do what? Enter. See with compassion. But see, if we only stay intact and not let a transformation take place, watch this. It will only be religious duties. Hear me. If we only just go through the emotions and not allow God, that Spirit of God, to really change us, it's only religious duties. But when the Spirit of God enters into us to conform us and to shape us and to cause us to be like Christ, is the only thing that will begin to change the situations. We can tell them to leap, well, you do this, you do this, you don't do that, you don't do this, you do this, come on, you know, well, don't do this, don't do that. How many know it's not about all that? I've heard that all my life. Do this and God will do this. Do this and God will do this. But nobody has ever told me, John, you need to have a relationship. You need to spend time in his presence. See, when Faye and I were dating, it wasn't enough time in the day for me to talk to her, for me to see her. See, but in his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hands are pleasure forevermore. How many know it brings God pleasure for you to long to be in his presence? And this is the only thing that's going to cause us to begin to react in the Spirit of God. But because if we don't react by the Spirit of God, it's just a bunch of religious duties. And people are tired of saying, well, I done did this, and still I'm right where I'm at. No, you need to let them know there needs to be a transformation. You say, what does this have to do with delivering love? Hold on. Love sees deeds of deliverance. Love invites into the community or the body of Christ freedom. justice, and respectful, our responsibility for the future. If we don't understand anything, how many know that everybody understands what? Love. Because everybody desires to be loved. And let me give you this here, one more time here, okay? The prefix of this word, it means to move away, or it means to move towards. Compassion moves us towards others. To go and enter into his or her situation. Jesus entered our situation by becoming, let's look at 2 Corinthians if you would. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. Loves enter a situation here, for he says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Now, what does that mean? Jesus took your place and my place. He became sin for us. He didn't know sin, but he was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God. Now, let me share this with you, because many people think, well, if I'm righteous, that means right deeds. How many know what he's talking about here is that you have been placed in right standing with God. Right standing with God. He took your place. He came in your situation. Because the Bible says in Hebrews, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He said he endured because he knew that in the situation we was in, there was no one else that could do it. Killing an animal wouldn't do it. Slaughtering calves wouldn't do it. But the Lamb of God, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, that blood of that Lamb was the one that we needed. And that Lamb is the same person right here that says, I will take their sin upon me. Love, delivering love. Do you not know God's whole aim is for you to be healed and function full of life and joy? Notice I didn't say happiness. Joy. Because happiness, it depends on what's happening. But joy is a part of your makeup by the Spirit of God. Hello, somebody. That's why when we go through, we can still have joy. That's why when things don't look good, we can still have joy. But you say, but Pastor John, it don't feel good. Joy is not based on a feeling. It's based on who you are. The Bible said the fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, amen, peace. All these things is part of your makeup. Why? Because he became sin for you so that you would be righteous. Right standing with God. Now listen, when I'm in right standing with God, say if I blew it. Did I blow it this morning? You say, that wasn't too bad. But how many know some people get upset when you don't pronounce their names right? Thank God Kelly didn't. But some people, he didn't pronounce that name right. Golly, what's wrong with him? Can't he read? Can't he do? What's going on? See, and when they say that, it really attacks you. It's not the mistake you made, but you feel violated. Why? Because they're attacking what you said, and how many know it's affecting you? But do you not know you don't have to let it affect you? Amen. Oh, Jesus. Just like this morning. As soon as he said that, I said, oh, Jesus. My flesh said, just let it go. It'll be all right. But no, I'm not going to let it go. Because I'm not being governed by this. well, that's going to hurt your reputation, John. You know, people, well, that can't help. People look at me kind of weird anyway, you know. Not saying y'all, but people do, you know. Come on. But when we mess up, it don't make me less righteous. When you mess up, you think, well, I messed up, so I must not be righteous. It's not based on you. It's based on what he did for you. And the Bible said he became sin that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, you are right standing with God. And when I blow it, I can go right to him as though nothing never happened. But because I know something happened, I go to him so that I could correct what was wrong. See, love. See, when a person loves you and you know that person loves you, you can be yourself around them. Oh, I'm glad you said that. You want me to pick on you. Hello, Miss Lynn. How you doing, sis? You're looking good. Appreciate you so much. You're a jewel, you know that. I tell you, but when we mess up, he don't kick us out of righteousness. What he's saying is, because I'm righteous, come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain favor or grace in the time of need. See, because I come boldly to the throne of grace, it means that I'm confident that he loved me. But what the enemy want to do is keep us in condemnation. So that we don't run to Daddy God. We run from Daddy God. But I'm telling you, Daddy is right there waiting when we mess up to say, just come on back to me. I straighten you up. I clean you up. I lift you up. That's what love, delivering love, would do for us. Let me tell you something. God loved you so. He knew everything. He knows everything about every one of us. He knows if I'm going to mess up when I leave here. He knows that. But you know what? He never tells me, John, you're going to mess up. You're going to miss it right here. You know what? He gives me the opportunity to live my life in a way that's pleasing to him. But I want you to understand something, that you are righteous because God made you righteous. You are in right standing with him. And what Daddy God wants you to do is to run to him. See, we've run to all kind of things, comforts and all kind of stuff, trying to get straightened out, when Daddy God is saying, I'm the one that want to straighten you out. This is why I came. The Bible says in Psalm that God sent his word to heal them. And the word that he sent, you'll find it in St. John 1:14. The word became flesh and dwelled among us. Jesus was the word that God sent to heal each and every one of us. Amen. You say, well, am I sick? Yes, you were. Remember, Jesus said, I come to those that are what? Sick. For those that are whole need not a physician. I didn't come to call the righteous, but I come to call sinners, which I was the chief one. And when he called my name, Sister Martha, guess what happened? I come running. And you know what? I used to think, well, as long as I do good, he's so proud of me. But I found out that even when I did something that I didn't mean to do, but it wasn't too good in the eyes of God, he didn't quit loving me. He didn't turn his back on me. He didn't tell me, you're no good for nothing, huh? He didn't tell me that. He said, come on, son. Come on, my beloved. Come on back to me. And when he called me son, whoo, Lord, it lets me know I'm identified with him. I'm the son, amen? When he says son, something goes all over me. You know why? Because now I know where I am. I'm identified. He's identifying me. That's my boy. And we think, you say, well, you're advocating things to do wrong. I'm not advocating that. I want to get you to fall in love with him so much to where you won't want to do wrong. See, that's the key right there. I want to love him so. Because see, I can get away with a lot of things with you, but how many know he's looking at me? But when I fall in love with him, guess what? I don't want to sin. I don't want to mistreat Keefe.
That's right, John.
I don't want to mistreat you. Because, see, love brings in reconciliation. Love sees redemption. Love sees kindness. Love sees wanting to encourage you. Love sees pushing you before me. See, that's what love is all about. Jesus gave up everything that was in the Heavenly Father's disposal to him so that he can come and heal us and cause us to heal others. But as long as we think it's just a church thing, oh, as long as we just think it's a church thing. I go to church. I enjoy the music, but I'm not changed. Go to the gas pump, cuss you out because you cut me off. You know that I was going to that gas pump first. What's wrong with you? Flushing it out. Huh? Oh, Jesus, brother, you better watch it. Do you hear me? But what Jesus want to do, what love want to do for us, is help us to begin to live free people. Do you not know that's what Jesus came for, to set you free and heal you? Go with me to Luke right quick. Got to hurry up. We already there. Go to the fourth chapter. Listen to what the word says here, okay? Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to do what? To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to what? Heal the brokenhearted." How many of you was in the line last Sunday about a broken heart? See, God want to heal the brokenhearted. Those that life has beat up so bad and scarred them, God want to do what? He want to heal that wound. He want to make you so whole to where you don't even feel the pain anymore. The scar might be still there, but the pain is gone. To proclaim liberty to the captive, to recover a sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That sounds like to me that Jesus wants us totally free. He wants you whole. And that's what delivering love is about. That's why Jesus came. See, there are a lot of scriptures where Jesus said, "Heal. I want you healed. I want you complete. I want you well. I want you functioning. I want you to be productive. I want you to be a person of joy. I want you to be a person of peace." But as long as we try to do it in the flesh, we will never do it. But it has to be the work of the Holy Spirit that God is allowing to work on the inside of us and to bring us into the revelation of who we are and what he has done for us. Let's look at Romans 5. See, he came to my situation, and I can only testify for what he's did for me. How many know we all got a story to tell? And as I was preparing for this message, I was thinking, when I start getting a word, I always point it to me first. I always said, "God, okay, what was, you know?" But when I realized what he had done for me. And I began to think on his delivering love, how much God, how many of you ever just sat down and you just start thinking about how well, how what God has did for you, how God loved you, how that shotgun or that pistol was pointed for you, but it didn't get you. There was a time a guy threw a dart, and it was for me. It was meant for me, Brother Scott. And I was this close to open the door, and something hit my mind, and I spent around just like this. And as soon as I spent around, that dart hit the door and came through. Love was looking out for me. I remember one night we was out having a good time. Had no idea this man was wanting to shoot me. No idea. Minding my own business. He had mistaken me for somebody else. And as soon as the gun wouldn't go off, love. Love. Now, there was a time that I wasn't doing like I should have been doing. Smoking my weed, sipping my rose of sherry. Not you, preacher. Oh, I ain't always been saved, okay? And we was flying. How many know? Well, I ain't gonna put that on y'all. When you get high and intoxicated, you begin to get bold and you want to see how fast, how furious you can go and all kind of stuff. And I mean, we was out there and we was just racing, having a good time. Could have been killed, could have hit somebody head on. But when I read this, hallelujah. But God demonstrated his own love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we have been saved by his life. Not only that, but we rejoice in him, in God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we now receive reconciliation. But what I want you to understand is God demonstrated his love while you were still a sinner. And now that you are his, guess what? He's going to love you even more. You said, well, what you mean more? Because now you can be a recipient of that love. You can enjoy the love relationship with him. When before it was one-sided, God was just loving you, protecting you, providing for you, keeping you. He's just loving you, just loving you. We out there doing our own thing, just still, God is still loving on us, protecting us, providing for us. And then all of a sudden we get saved and we understand it was love that lifted me. It was love that protected me. And God said that he so loved you and I that he gave up his son. And you know, we live in a corrupt world. And this world try to shake and pull us in all kind of ways. But sometimes we just need to be still. We just need to be still. That was a song I heard years ago by this pastor, and him and I, we used to do revivals together, and he's dead and gone now, but he used to sing a song. He said, I need to be still and let God love me. I need to be still and let God love me. I need to relax and let him take over. I need to relax and let God take over. When there's trouble all around me and there's answers that I need, when I feel that I'm failing, even though I've done my best, I just need to be still and let God love me. I need to be still and let God love me. That's what we need to do sometime. Just be still. I like what they said in Sunday school. The devil try to keep us so distracted to where we don't take advantage of the presence of God. Amen? But delivering love has come to you. Today, He loves you. And that's the message for today. We heard it in songs. They didn't have no idea that I was going to share what I was going to share. Cassandra over here, she tapped me on the shoulder. And you know, you can't turn away when you know people are hitting right where God is speaking. But church, believe it, God love you. Look at your neighbor and say, God love you. God love you. And because we are born of God, guess what? We can love each other. We can love each other. Because God loved us, we can in turn love others. But until God changes our hearts, it's all about selfish love. Remember, I'm getting ready to close. Somebody said, uh-oh, I really am. Remember this scripture, St. John 11. It's the story of Jesus' friend, Lazarus. And they went to Jesus and they said, whom you love is sick. And Jesus stayed in the town where he was at. But eventually, Jesus said these words. He said, the sickness is not unto death. So Jesus stayed in the town where he was. But this is in Bethany where Martha and Mary still was waiting on Jesus to come. They said, Lord, had you been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, where have you put him? They had unburied him and did all that stuff. But love, the Bible said, whom you loveth. Do you realize your situation might look like it's dead, it's dried up, not even smelling right at this time? But love is coming. Love will make the difference. Love will cause those dead moments. That love and the power of that love is his resurrection power. Amen. The resurrection. Remember they came to Jesus. He said, well, we know he'll rise up in the last day when the resurrection. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection. So your stuff might look bad. It might be all this. But let me tell you something. Anything dead, that is a resurrection. Come on. Ooh, Jesus, watch out. There is a resurrection. And the Bible said that same spirit that rose Christ from the dead dwells in you. And don't write off yourself because he's not through with you. The Bible says that Paul said this. He said, I am confident of this very thing. He which have begun a good work in y'all and me, we'll perfect that work unto the day of Jesus Christ. For he went on to say, he said, work out your own salvation. In other words, don't work for it, but what God has worked in, let it work out. He said, for it is God who works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. So look at your neighbor and say, God is working something in you. that you can't work yourself. Amen. And Keith said, you better believe it. He's up to something, church. Amen? I hope you got something out of those few words. But I want you to know, God love you. And there's nothing the devil, your past, your present, your future, there's nothing that is going to stop him from loving you. But what he wants you to do is fall in love with him. See, this was a problem with the church in Revelation. They was doing everything well. But he said, there's one thing. You left your first love. When we first were saved, church couldn't open fast enough. People couldn't be mean enough for me to tell them I love them. But after we grown in a little while, we think we got it all together. But we need to fall in love with him again until we begin to love each other the way he loves us and let him embrace us in those hard times, when those times you feel like nobody understands, nobody cares. Jesus said, I care. Amen? Just let him love you. Just take some time and just let him love you. That's what he want to do. He want to love you up. I didn't want to say that. He want to love all that stuff out of you and let you experience that new creation. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you today, Lord. And Lord, we know, God, that you love us in such a way that, God, sometimes it's just past our knowledge to understand and comprehend. But God, we do know, Father, that you love us enough to where you have placed us in a position that we are in right standing with you, Lord. And God, because we're in right standing with you, Father, God, we know that we can approach you. You said we can come boldly to the throne of grace. And God, you desire relationship. Not a bunch of do's and don'ts, but God, you want us to have relationship. Koinonia. Fellowshipping with you, Father. And God, we pray that you will manifest yourself to us in a greater way and open our understanding in a greater way, Father, to who you are and what you've done for us, to where we experience your presence every day. Refresh us, Father, for the storms that we've went through, for the battles that we went through, for the worration we went through, for the rejection we went through the disappointments, Lord. God, refresh us today, Father. Refresh us, Father. Give us a hunger and a desire for you greater than we've ever known. And Father, we'll be careful to give you praise and glory, Father. Let love break out in the midst of us, Father, to where we look at through the eyes of redemption and reconciliation, Father. Lord, cause it to happen among us, Father. And God, let it spread abroad. Once it happened in here, let us go out into the highways and hedges, Lord God, to Walmart, Kmart, wherever we may go. Let that love just manifest to your creation, to your humanity. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're free to go.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.